Yeah, my name is Georg, Georg Wondrak. I'm working at the University of Arizona at the College of Pharmacy and the Arizona Cancer Center. And I'm an associate professor of pharmacology and toxicology.
And in fact, your talk just now spent a lot of time discussing possible new drugs that you could use to treat cancer. These are drugs that have been used for other things and haven't been considered before for cancer.
Yeah, right. We call this repurposing. So you have a drug that has shown efficacy for an indication that is not cancer-directed. It could be a blood pressure medication, could be an antimicrobial, antimalarial. And some of these drugs that are then well-characterized with regard to toxicity, adverse effects, etc., that are known to work in humans, if they can do other tricks, we sort of try to repurpose them and teach old dogs new tricks.
And have you been getting any good results?
Well, we work with antimalarials that are working through induction of oxidative stress. So these are called artemisinins. And turns out that cancer cells are sensitive to the same mechanisms as malaria parasites being killed by these antimalarial drugs. So it's about these drugs being able to induce oxidative stress. These are peroxides that can decay with the formation of free radicals. And they find the targets because the target is iron-rich. Targets with a lot of free iron, such as malaria parasites, or cancer cells that mishandle iron, they're more sensitive to these drugs. So it's sort of a common denominator that malaria parasites and cancer cells share.
That surprises me enormously. I mean, I heard about it for the first time today, but I believe there's a literature going back a few years.
Yes. Yeah. So the fun with repurposing is that you stand on the shoulders of others that have done extensive investigations, but have not considered certain new applications. And so you do not have to reinvent the wheel. You can just take the wheel, but then drive somewhere else. And we drive towards fighting cancer using drugs that can induce oxidative stress or can increase the unfolded protein burden in cancer cells. And cancer cells happen to be very vulnerable to oxidative stress or what's called proteotoxic stress. So if you have an agent that can induce oxidative or proteotoxic stress, it might preferentially target cancer cells and leave normal cells alone.
And I saw that you had some beautiful examples with melanoma.
Yeah. So it ultimately always depends on which tumor are we talking about and which stage of the tumor. Is it a tumor in situ or metastatic disease? But turns out that melanoma cells, malignant metastatic melanoma cells, are actually under a lot of oxidative stress. And so if you stress them further, you can redline the cancer engine and kill them through these drugs.
Well, that's it is amazing. Is that started to be used now for patients? Are patients starting to use it now?
Yeah, well, the nature of these repurposed drugs is if they are approved for clinical use, then the translational aspect is very favorable in that you can switch them quickly. You need still, you know, clinical studies, but they will not run into unanticipated toxicity issues or so. And so there is a antimalarial called chloroquine that is approved, and it is being studied now clinically in cancer patients for anti-cancer intervention. And so we sort of build up a pipeline of approved drugs that then can easily be switched.
Have you done any research, for instance, with the artemisinins in China? Because the people in China were using these drugs as anti-malarials, well, since time immemorial. Mm-hmm. Were they also using them against cancer?
Right. I'm not aware of this, but you're right. The artemisinins are a sort of a prime example of the success of Chinese herbal medicine. You know, the potential anti-cancer activity of artemisinins has been recognized, I would say, not longer than 10 years ago that people started thinking about it. However, the redox-directed activity of these agents is very recently only appreciated, and so we are sort of at the forefront of this.
And you've got some terrific examples.
Once you sort of have pharmacological ways that enable you to modulate cell stress responses, whether it's the heat shock response, proteotoxic stress response, oxidative stress, then you can also use this to protect good cells. You can think about protecting skin cells from environmental damage, for skin photoprotection, for protection against environmental carcinogens, because if you can upregulate these kind of cell stress responses in tissue that you want to protect, then you have a great way of blocking environmental damage.
So that's really the counter view of using these products.
Right, so they could be chemopreventive and they could be chemotherapeutic, in that cancer cells cannot deal with increased oxidative prototoxic stress, whereas normal cells will adapt to this type of stress and upregulate their endogenous responses. So we're working on a transcription factor called NRF2. That is an oxidative stress response transcription factor. And if you have ways to mildly stress cells, they will become very strong through NRF2 upregulation and will then be very resistant to environmental stress. So if you find compounds, again, that impose mild oxidative stress, then you can actually tell good cells to protect themselves and thereby have chemopreventive agents.
So ultimately, what are you doing?
Well, we basically harness the cell's endogenous ability to adapt to stress. That's what we're doing. We impose stress in the hope of tweaking the cell stress responses in a way that good cells adapt and become more resilient, and cancer cells, which are already under high stress levels, just fall apart because it's getting too much. That's what we do.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.